It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You were supposed to have Bob's music for the show down. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by, baby.
There we go. What's the text line brought to you by?
Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob?
Yes, it's time for this week's showdown. So City Limits against Joe, and I'll partake, even though I'll ask the questions, but I'm going to be involved in this. So we haven't tackled some issues that have nothing to do with football, but we will tackle issues eventually that do deal with football. But first, we're going to talk about Penn State expectations, Pitt expectations, West Virginia expectations. Penn State is expected to crack the 12-team playoff. What would be a good season for Penn State based on the fact that they are picked preseason number 8, depending on what you look at? Joe, what do you think they have to do to make people back off from James Franklin?
Get in and win a game.
Okay.
You got to get in.
Well, there are 12 teams.
This is almost like the Penn State playoff system in a way, because reflexively you hear from Penn State fans, and they're not wrong, that, well, if the playoff field were bigger, they would have been in and this year. Well, they expanded it to 12, so you better get in this year. You better. Because this could actually work against Franklin in the 1 year where it expands to 12. And by the way, he's got some tough games.
Yeah, but his schedule's in his favor, I think. They have Ohio State at home, don't they, this year? They have Washington at home this year.
They also have USC and Wisconsin in back-to-back games,
and they're also going
to West Virginia.
All right, but I still think it's a doable schedule,
right. Yeah.
So you, Austin?
Bob, they got to go 11-1 during the regular season. This season is built, and going forward, for Penn State to make the playoffs. A 12-team playoff is perfect. They made it, I think, 6 times since the college football playoff was invented and made four teams, if it was a 12-team playoff. And as Joe said, you get UCLA at home, who's not that good this year. Yeah, you got USC on the road, but Ohio State is at home. You get West Virginia at the very beginning of the year instead of later, where I think West Virginia is really going to be building some momentum, and Washington isn't as good.
I disagree entirely.
The Wisconsin game, I don't think, is going to be a problem on the road for Penn State. James Franklin needs to prove it in big games, in big situations. If they don't beat Ohio State, no matter, even if they go 11-1, and that one loss is Ohio State on November 2nd at home, people are still going to be complaining because James Franklin still cannot beat Ohio State, and they need to win a playoff game.
Best news for him is he doesn't play Michigan, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Although this year I'd want to play Michigan.
Or Oregon.
They've lost just about everybody, and I don't think they have a foundation because most of the guys who were part of that championship team are no longer there, and I think they're going to struggle. I would rather, this is the year to play Michigan, and they're not going to play Michigan. All right, let's talk about Pitt. 3 wins, 9 losses last year. They are not given much love in some of these preseason polls that I see, especially from coaches. Picked 14th in their conference of 17, depending on what you look at. So, Austin, what would constitute a good year for Pitt, and what would also constitute something you would expect given how long Pat Narduzzi has been here?
I think 7-5 would be a good season for Pitt. I think 6-6 might be more realistic.
Oh, my God.
I like Pat Narduzzi as a coach a lot, but I don't like the quarterback situation. Nate Yarnell is better than what last year's situation was with Phil Dracovic, who threw up on himself multiple different occasions. I like Eli Holstein You like that one, Joe?
I did.
Yes. Eli Holstein, the transfer from Alabama. I like him a lot, but I mean, the defense has lost significant pieces. I like Kenonte Mumfield and Gavin Bartholomew, and Cade Bell's going to bring a lot on offense, but I'm more concerned about the defense than I am the offense.
Hold on a second here. And I'm not saying I do disagree with you. Pat Narduzzi's in year what?
11.
No, not 11.
Whatever
how
he is.
How long has he been here?
He's been here a long time.
7 or 8?
He's been here a long time.
Yeah, that's my point.
And he came walking in with a lot of talk about national championships and things like that. If you're a Pitt follower, and are you, Austin?
Yes, this is year 10 for Narduzzi. Last year was. This is year 10.
It doesn't matter.
10.
That's
my
beside
goodness.
The point.
Jeez.
Aren't you embarrassed to say out loud, after we all agree that the bar for Penn State is the playoffs, and maybe even to win a playoff game, and the bar for little old Pitt is 7-5, and you'll be happy?
I know. It's really bad. And what a fall from grace over the last couple of years.
No, and I'm not buying it. And I'm not giving Pat Narduzzi the benefit of low expectations. Get out of here with that. Win 10 games.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know. Figure out a way. He came in here talking national championships, and he's in year 11, and you can rebuild college football programs on the fly.
I think 7.
So I'm not going to sit here and say, aw, Pitt, if they go 7-5, we'll all be happy.
I think 7-5 is reflective of...
7-5 is horrible.
West Virginia is going to be a very tough game for them. I think they probably lose that one. Clemson, you have it at home, though, which is good.
That won't matter where you play Clemson. Forget
the individual games. Why are we giving Pitt the benefit of low expectations?
We shouldn't. After all these years, there's a way to keep things rolling, and they haven't been able to do it. And following 3-9, okay, sure, there's a transfer portal, but you can't load up your team with a bunch of transfers, as Colorado has shown you. They can't do it that way. You have to still have a foundation. I don't know they have that foundation of enough talent, especially defensively right now.
So what's a good year?
For me, 9 wins is a good year. Anything less, I'd be disappointed. Only because of where they are. I understand their team is being questioned about what kind of talent or lack of it they have. To me, you have to go into this thinking you're going to contend for something in the ACC.
And I don't think 6-6 is a good year. I'm not trying to say that.
No, you said 7-5.
I think 7-5 is more likely of what's going to happen.
Well, that's a different question than what's a good year. I'm not asking.
What's a good year is 7-8 wins? Because, I mean, they won 3 games last year.
Yeah, to their detriment and their fault. It's just amazing to me. I'm not saying this about you now. It's amazing to me how Penn State operates under such elevated expectations. While Pitt, I think a lot of people would agree with what he just said. 7
bowl
wins
game,
is a good
just get
year.
A bowl game.
That's sad to me.
Because
again, the head coach
have
there,
the lofty expectations.
The head coach there has talked a lot, and he's now 10 years in. And if I don't care what the circumstances are, I don't care if you were 0-12 last year. He's 10 years in. If the expectation is 7-5 is a good season, then get him out of here. And I've been an Narduzzi defender in recent years, although not last year. I was a defender of the contract extension. If 7-5, if everybody's saying that's a good year in year 10 of your tenure, then you haven't done what you said you were going to do. And that's fireable.
All right,
and they have a schedule, by the way, that starts with Kent State, who stinks. Cincinnati, who stinks. Home against West Virginia.
Cincinnati,
Youngstown State.
Cincinnati may stink, but they're going to be, I bet you they're favored in that game.
They stink. So they should start 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0 against North Carolina, and then come home and be ready to go 6-0 before they go to Syracuse. They face one ranked team on this schedule, and we're going to sit in this studio and say, and there's tons of people saying it, 7-5 will be good for little old Pitt. No, well, I want more from Pitt. If I'm a Pitt fan, I want
right.
way more. To be satisfied.
And if I'm the
with
people
that
in
schedule,
charge,
with that should, schedule, they
and,
have one
and
ranked
not only
team.
That schedule, that
no
league,
top 10 teams.
That league does not have that many great teams in it. You should be able to be one of the elite teams, regardless of what year you're in. So, all right, Penn State, West Virginia, the line originally was 13.5. It's down to 8.
Yeah.
Who are you picking in that game outright and also with the points?
This is a tricky one because I think Penn State could use an exhibition game, you know, could use a Youngstown State right about now. They got 2 new coordinators. They got some new players, new special teamers, things like that. and this is going to be a crazy environment, even though the game's at noon.
What better test of your team?
Drew Aller. It's going to be very, very interesting to see where they are. I think they could have used an adjustment. I might pick the outright upset, Bob. I might.
Ooh.
I'm as yet undecided.
Music to Adam Crowley's ears.
I'm as yet undecided on that part of it, but I am picking West Virginia to cover. I am. I think Penn State will get rolling this season. Week one, this is not good for them.
Crowley is clapping, standing next to his radio right now, or sitting, or whatever he might be doing. I agree with part of what you said, Joe. I think West Virginia will cover. That big line of 13.5 or whatever it was, I don't get it. Partly because it's a week one game, start of the year. I think West Virginia is really good. They could win 9-10 games this year in the regular season. Very good team on the road. I think a noon game actually helps Penn State, not being a primetime atmosphere down at WVU. But I think Penn State ends up pulling out. The better team wins in the end. Drew Aller needs to prove it this year. I like him a lot, but he hasn't done it in big games and big situations. As much as people want to undersell it, this is a huge game on both sides. It's a huge game for Penn State, even though people are trying to make it seem otherwise. And it's a big moment for Aller, and he can prove it in week one. I think it says a lot about the way Penn State can go. And I think West Virginia will be very competitive in this game.
Well, yeah, I think it'll be a very entertaining game. I'm one of those who would take the points probably just because it is the first game of the season. All right. We're going to talk about a Penguin trade that was made.
This is good so far, Bob.
We have a top prospect for a top prospect, which is something you really don't see, given the fact that the top prospect the Penguins traded in Braden Jaeger is a guy that Kyle Dubas selected. So it's not like it's not one of his guys. It's one of his guys. He goes after Rutger McGroarty, who is a player who did not like what Winnipeg was saying to him. They wanted him to go back to Michigan. He said, no, I don't. I'm ready to play. Is he plug and play, Austin? Can he step right in and play? And if so, out one line.
I certainly hope so. And if that's the case, I plug him right in with Evgeny Malkin. Now, the part of the conversation was he going to go back to Michigan? Was he going to be for Winnipeg? And I mean, Winnipeg, seemingly, he did not want to play there. I would like to see him immediately plugged on one of the top two lines. Use the physicality to protect an older guy like Evgeny Malkin, but also see the skill play out with Malkin as well and try to throw Brian Rust maybe on that line too, if not with Crosby.
I'm not going to pretend I knew a lot about Rutger McGroarty, Bob. So
I won't either for that point as well.
I'm going to have to see this guy play.
Right.
Most people think the Penguins got the better of the deal, and the gist you get is that this guy has more of an edge as a winger. And a hardcore winger.
Their needs better than
Jaeger. However, I keep seeing questions about his skating. And one thing I know about covering hockey for a number of years and watching it for 100 years is there's nothing that can keep a AAA prospect from making it in the majors more than skating or skills, lack of skating skills. Read today from The Athletic, he was called a mediocre skater at best. So I'm very curious to see this guy. Sidney Crosby loves speed on his wings, by the way. So from the little that I know, that doesn't sound like the ideal fit. However, that doesn't mean guys who aren't great skaters can't be great players. There are still plenty of those in the league. And if this kid's ready to play and ready to be somewhat of a power forward, I don't know that he's that size. But if he's ready to add something to the Penguins lineup that they don't have, which is a winger, with an edge, although Bunting provides that, I suppose, a little bit.
Same kind of player.
I'd like to see him. I'd like to see
But is
I'd
he
like
plug and play?
Try.
How about if they
know.
Determine he's
I
not?
Know.
And how about if he doesn't like the fact that he won't make that roster? Because you remember the guy, who was the guy from Philly? Cutter?
Yeah, yeah. He's in the same
Gaither.
Situation that McGroarty was
I ain't
in
playing
Winnipeg.
There.
Yeah.
Right. So what if
care.
He does?
I don't care what he likes and doesn't like. At this point, I mean, he can't do that to two teams,
no,
can he?
No, he can't. He'll be, if he does, he's just not going to be looked at very well. So the bottom line is he better be able to play, because I think they brought him here to play, and they need an edge, a left-handed guy also. So I like this. I want to see it because it's different than what they've had. And quite frankly, Braden Jaeger, he is a center. There is no way he plays on this team this year as long as these guys are around. Where are they going to play him?
Jaeger?
Yeah, he can't be
well, I mean, the whole idea of drafting
center.
Him
he's not a
was he was
going to
be
center.
The heir apparent once,
right.
once Gino and Sid
Again,
wind down, especially Gino.
But right now he couldn't play on this roster.
Not right now. No, let's see if this guy can play right now.
We're going to see.
It's a very open question.
All right, so now we go to...
This is good so far, Bob.
Well, I'm trying to stay away
from
what we've already.
You haven't said thank you yet. I've complimented it
twice. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that very kindly.
Do you think it's good?
I think it's been going great so far.
Me too.
All right, so I want to ask you this now. I want you to rank the teams in the AFC Central.
Yes.
Based on what you know.
AFC Central, 1994 football.
North. Okay. I'm thinking
hey,
1994.
Bob,
I'm going way back.
Central. Houston Oilers.
So,
I'm going to go with the Houston Oilers
right,
to win
North,
this division.
Come on.
Followed by.
There we go. From the dead. Ron's down there laughing all the way from Fort Myers.
I think that Dan Pastorini is going to have a hell of a year.
One through four, based on what you know, one through four, the finishing. Now, I realize there's a lot. You do this all the time to me, Joe, so I'm going to put you on the spot. The finish of the AFC North, run through four, will be?
I think Brian Sipes going to have a hell of a year. One through four, I think it's going to be Cincy 1, Ravens 2, Steelers 3, Browns 4. Thank you for asking, Bob.
I hate to agree with every syllable and half syllable, but I completely agree.
But you're
agree.
Not going to have to. No, there are no duplicates. You got to come up with something different.
So I can't say Cincinnati wins
lie.
The division?
You can't ask him to lie.
I think Cincinnati finishes 1, Baltimore a close 2nd, Steelers 3rd, and the Browns finish 4th. And the Steelers finish close to a playoff spot, potentially get into a playoff spot, but Cincinnati is unquestionably the winner of the division with a healthy Joe Burrow.
That's one thing I saw this preseason is he was able to cut it loose a little bit. I was concerned about his injury. They're the best team in the division because of him.
Okay. And let me ask
what do you
this
think?
Then.
What do you think?
Well, I'm going to defer to Baltimore. Just because I really like Derrick Henry, I still think he has a lot of football left. And the way they play physical football down there and run it, I think that's going to help them, and it'll help Lamar Jackson. So I just have a feeling they're going to end up winning that division. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, battle for 2nd, 3rd, Cleveland, 4th. Now let me move on to the first four games. And I say this because I look at their schedule, which is ranked as one of the toughest. As we know that at the end of the year can look back and change, and you would say, well, they got lucky with injuries. How many of the first three games must they win? 3 of 4 on the road. At Atlanta, and by the way, if I ask you for a bold pick along the way, mine is going to be Atlanta wins their division. I'm very sold on what they've done down there. I think that's going to be a hard game as long as Cousins is not plagued by his injury. I think they'll score enough points. Their defense is really good. I like Atlanta a lot. So how many wins in the first four at Atlanta, at Denver, Chargers at home, at Indy, Joe, must they have?
3. I mean, the schedule, there's a couple breaks there, maybe. Maybe. I don't even know with at Washington, games like that, or at Vegas, where they traditionally struggle. Dallas is going to be a battle. Whatever you want to say about Jimmy Jones and the Cowboys, you know, they're explosive. One of the most explosive offenses in the league. And then we all know what happens once Thanksgiving rolls around. Baltimore at Cleveland at Cincy, Cleveland at Philly at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincy. You got to bag wins early. You better win 3 of those 4 games. You better.
They go 3-1. They win all 3 games on the road. They lose the game to the Chargers at home. I think the Atlanta game is still one that favors them in the Arthur Smith Bowl, despite the defensive additions that Atlanta made, which are good additions in Simmons and Matthew Judon. Denver, I can't see Russell Wilson losing the Wilson Bowl against Sean Payton.
How many do they have to win? That's the
question.
They
have to win 3.
3.
They have to win 3.
I agree with that.
I also agree. I don't think you can get away 2-2 or 1-3. If that happens, they're in deep trouble because you can't. It's hard to dig out of this kind of schedule, I think, if everyone stays healthy.
I mean, all those games are very, very losable, too. That's
absolutely
why I'm maintaining 48%. That's the number I'm putting on the wheels completely coming off this operation. That's at 48% right now.
All right, back to college football. This has nothing to do with the actual game. It has to do with Deion Sanders, the head coach, Coach Prime, who was not ready for prime time last year, talked a good game, could not back it up. Now he's banning people from asking questions because he doesn't like the nature of the questions. Well, let's talk about that. What should people do in that regard if you're a member of the media? Because there are ways to get exposure out there. You can go through blogs and other things.
I've been that guy, Bob. I've been that person.
By whom?
Would you like to hear the back and forth, Bob?
Of this?
Yes.
No, or yes, what happened?
Can I?
Joe?
Go ahead.
So if I ask a negative question,
I don't
will you not answer?
Let's be negative right now. Like, you take an approach that I'm going to be negative. I'm not negative to anybody. I would challenge you and ask you why or where is this coming from. So I'm not built like that. I'm not built to hate. I'm not a hateful guy. I come with love. I think if anybody in here has had encounters with me, I don't come with the bull jump. I come with the peace and the joy. Now, when you show me where you stand, I might have to change that a little bit. So I'm not going to match your ignorance or whatever. I'm not saying that you're ignorant, but a person, I'm not going to match that. Well, that's your prerogative. I don't have to come with you where you are because my life is complete. I don't, like, what you say, what you do is not going to change my life.
So if that's the case, then why won't he entertain a question? Clearly, in that situation, he doesn't like the line of questioning. If you're a head coach, you have to expect every line of questioning. You have to deal with it. I think that's a small look by a guy who's overmatched and will not be a winning coach in Colorado. What was your story?
You asked earlier, what do you do if you're the journalist in that case? You do whatever you can to get the information, the quotes that you need if you're a beat writer. This guy's a columnist, so he doesn't really need to be there, honestly. You just keep writing what you're writing. Now, Jim Trotter, I thought, had a great story in The Athletic today. Trotter writes, Deion Sanders talks a lot about character, but his bully tactics show very little of it. You can't just say you're not going to talk to somebody because you don't like what they wrote. You look horrible. I agree with Trotter there.
But he said in his answer, Deion, my life's complete. I don't care. If you don't care what they say, and if you don't care what they're, just answer the question.
Exactly.
And don't take this action to the point where now they're not even allowed to go in the locker room and talk to players.
Right.
That's such a childish
move. That's basically,
you
know, censorship. But I think is it directed at the whole paper? It is, at the Denver Post.
Yeah, the Post.
So, yeah, that guy or woman is going to have to go in, is going to have to get quotes somehow and do their job. I don't know who their beat writer is. But this columnist apparently has called Deion a false prophet, Deposition Deion, Planet Prime, Bruce Lee of BS, the Deion Kool-Aid, and things like that. And as Trotter says, I can understand Deion being bothered by those characterizations, but I also know the skin of an FBS coach has to be thicker than one-ply toilet paper, Trotter writes. How about that?
And I agree.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle that. You do. And I like Deion. I'm actually a big Deion fan, but this is just ridiculous.
Well, listen, you could be a fan of him, but if he thinks he's going to win by completely changing his roster through the transfer portal only, 44 new players again this year. You can't build a college football, at least I don't think so, right? Do you guys believe that? That transfer portal is to help you in positions you need help. It's not to completely change your entire roster and bring in a whole new set of people. I don't think you can survive like that.
Joe, I very rudely interrupted you, and I apologize for that before the clip.
You look like a guy who's had his tail between his legs here for the last couple of minutes. You're just sitting there quietly, and that's not your character.
I saw this video from a high school game where a ref caught a football on the field and got tackled by a defensive player.
He showed great hands and great awareness. It was a deflected ball, and he made the catch.
Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I put it on Twitter. I thought it was funny.
It's so funny.
We're all over what happened seconds ago. You did nothing wrong.
I'm very glad.
Thank you.
And I apologize once again.
Do you think you could put together a team through exclusively the transfer portal?
No, you can't have 50 new guys there.
No, he keeps doing that, and you're not going to have success. I'm sorry, you just can't.
It's not a team. It just becomes so individual at that point. And a couple of Pitt guys did transfer over there, and that sparked more Pat Narduzzi, Deion Sanders comments saying, oh, thank you to Pittsburgh for the men that they built over there. Deion Sanders is just so exhausting.
I can't
just
believe
so
this
over
ref
it.
Caught the ball. I'm looking at it now.
I know. Like, I've watched it five times.
Well, what are you supposed to do
so
if
silently?
You're him?
Drop it.
And still get hit? You may as well get the video go viral by you making the catch and then taking a hit.
And the funny part was was deflected and then the ref caught it.
Right. He had better hands than the entire offensive staff that day.
The kid who sort of tackled him had a great sense of humor and so did the ref. But yeah, that happened to me with Yager, where he said, I'm not talking to him. Get him out of the scrum. I won't talk unless that guy's out of the scrum.
Or what did you write? Or what did you say?
Oh, nothing at the time. I still believe to this day that the guys, my competition, poisoned the well with him and told him stuff that wasn't true so that he wouldn't talk to me because there was nothing I had written. In fact, I had just written a nice piece where he really opened up to me and it was nothing but complimentary. So to this
day. Did you tell him that? I mean.
We had millions of talks over time, and I'm convinced that the well was poisoned by my competition. I'll just leave it at that. But I would go, so I'd stand outside the scrum, and Dale Gerdnick would give me the quotes from the scrum, and I would transcribe them off his tape recorder. It was unbelievable, Bob.
Well, I mean, questions are meant to be asked. You can you don't have to read. It's just like Twitter notifications. If you want to start reading them all and commenting, you'll go crazy. It's not worth it. People can say whatever they want. It's their opinion. That's fine.
It's one thing if somebody gets very personal.
But that wasn't the case with the Denver thing. He was just you've heard those kinds of things. And in being the head coach, I agree with Trotter, who said you have to have thicker skin than this. You can't let that stuff bother you to the point where you tell people you're not coming in, and I'm never looking at you and never talking to you again.
Yeah.
That's childish.
There's no way he comes out of that looking good. Let's put it that way. Next?
Next would be Pirates. Since we already got into this, I'm going to ask you one final question in this showdown, and this would be the question. So the Pirates, if you listen to Yasmani Grandal, who hit the walk-off two-run home run yesterday, he said, listen, we're not out of this at all. He cited his time with L.A. when the Dodgers overcame a similar kind of deficit, but that was the Dodgers, a very loaded team, and they got hot, and they got into the playoffs. So my question to you, if you're the Pirates and you believe that you still have a chance, but you're the manager and the general manager, how do you play September? Do you, if that's the case, do you just continue to do what you're doing and not bring up guys from the minors, or do you have an opportunity to check out some guys from the minors and just say, play, and we'll see what happens?
Here's what makes it unique for them. I think they're one and the same. They give themselves a better chance and get to look at the young guys by playing the young guys.
That's a good point.
Because some of the guys who are there,
well, they let Michael Taylor go. Jiwon Bae has been just the same over and over again.
You know, horrific.
They don't have a lot of players right now who are doing the things
Grandal,
necessary.
Grandal might be a guy who fits into your category. You know what I mean? Like, he's hitting now. He's been hitting for a while. Just hit a dramatic homer yesterday, which was great. And he's a guy that skeens, and I think some of the other pitchers like defensively, even though some of his numbers aren't great. So do you keep playing him if you think you're in it? And what constitutes being in it? I say within five of a wild card. Which they could still get to.
Well, they're eight, but they have five teams just to get to the third wild card.
I know. I know.
That's the hardest part of this. It's not so much the deficit. It's all these teams ahead of them.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to jump Cincinnati in your own division, the Cubs in your own division, the Cardinals in your own division, then the Giants and Mets before you even get to getting to Atlanta.
But the good thing about that, they play them all coming up. They just took three or four from them. They got to sweep the Cubs. They'll jump over them if that's the case. They could whittle this away a little bit, but it would take... You know, a 23-9 run, are they capable of that? I don't see that.
I don't think so.
It would be a Clint Hurdle-like run.
It would be
a
lot.
Colorado.
Exactly. I just want to see some younger guys right now so I have something to look into in this offseason. So that'll do it for today's showdown. We thank very much Joe Stark-Raven and City Limits for their participation in today's show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Go now.
Top of the hour, we're going to get into the Steelers roster and some interesting decisions. Some people have already been cut. Do you have a list of those people, Bob? You were reading it to me earlier.
Yes, most of the names are people you would have expected to be cut. These are the easy ones to make on.
Who
offensive
are some of them?
Line, Tyler Beach, Devery Hamilton, who got pushed around the other day. Wide receivers, Jacob Copeland and TJ Luther. Running back, Dejon Edwards. On defense, you have
Spencer. DK on Pittsburgh.
Cahava Tezino, who got called for one of those tackles that they're trying to outlaw.
The TJ Luther
and Keandre
experiment
Thomas
ended poorly.
These guys, three of these guys were brought in like 2 days before they ever played. And I mean, you're just trying to land somewhere, and they're hoping it's a practice squad. So
there's
they still have a lot more to go.
There's that one photo of TJ Luther jumping up on an ill-timed leap for that Justin Fields pass from that one game. It's horrible. Steelers Depot has a photo of it with their story. That was not a notable tenure for TJ Luther. No relation to Ryan Luther, I don't believe, Bob.
No, I don't think there's any relation there.
And who was the first guy? Chris Beach?
Tyler Beach. Chris
Beach. You remember when Chris Beach dated Sonny Abada from your station?
I set him up. I did, and I regret that at the end. Just because it didn't go the way maybe it should have gone.
If it had gone the way it should have gone, she would be Sonny Beach.
That's, yeah. You know, it's kind of a snappy name.
Where is she these days?
She's down in Florida.
What part?
Orlando. She's doing very well. She has, an Instagram
she
stuff
married?
That she does. Yes.
Do you think her and her husband would let me stay there and play golf for
sure.
free?
I went down there too. Her whole family went down to their wedding. It was very nice.
Really?
They have kids now moving on in that direction. But yeah.
Do
you remember that trade?
Which one? Oh, yeah.
Chris Beach, Michael Civic, and one more.
Ross Lupuschuk. Yes.
That was a desperation trade. Just get something in return, right?
Craig Patrick said that Chris Beach reminded him of Ron Francis, as I recall.
Well, he has to say something. He just brought the
guy
in.
Then you had Michael Civic from All in the Family, and then you had Ross Lupuschuk. It was a disaster, Bob. How many combined NHL games for those guys?
I don't know. Not many.
Chris Beach is doing some interesting work with hockey players who are struggling and need a little boost. He's an interesting guy. I was listening to a podcast. But anyway, back to the Pirates for just a moment. And the whole Barry Bonds, Leland, Manny Sanguian weekend. I think next up has to be Al Oliver. I agree with Jason Mackey. How is he not in already?
He should be in. There are a lot of guys that I thought should be in. Still, some of the older guys are still waiting around. And I think given their careers, they should have been already inducted. And the last thing, I say this a lot, but it bothers me when I see guys who are posthumously put in for any kind of Hall of Fame.
That's why Vern Law, I think, should get
Vern Law, nod. Absolutely. Should be.
Meanwhile, why do you think that Leland deserved to go in before Tanner? The late Chuck Tanner?
I think they both should be in, but I thought, again, I'll go back to what I said. I've said this before. He should have been in already. Should have been done. I know they're trying to space out classes and how many people you do
Didn't
all that.
Didn't Tanner have a more notable tenure by winning
World
the World
Championship?
Series?
And that's the last playoff series the Pirates had ever won.
They probably wanted to dovetail Leland's, although I don't know how that worked, Hall of Fame. And obviously Leland is deserving. I'm not saying that, but I was just surprised today to see that Tanner's not in yet. That's all I was saying.
Well, I think there are a lot of guys on that. Al Oliver, I mean, first of all, Dave Parker should be in the regular Hall of Fame, the Cooperstown Hall of Fame, I think.
I agree.
Why that's taken so long,
I mean, the fact that
know.
Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame and Dave Parker isn't
doesn't
is
make
ridiculous.
Sense.
I have a baseball question for you, Bob, and Limitless Wonder. You ready?
Yes.
Aaron Judge on pace to hit 63. 64 homers would break his own American League record. Ohtani is now a 40-40 guy, one of the few in baseball history, and has a very realistic chance to be a 50-50 guy. What would be the more remarkable feat, in your not-so-humble opinion, Bob? Judge with 64 homers or Ohtani as a 50-50 guy?
I'm going to say Judge with 64 homers.
What?
If you throw Ohtani pitching next year into this and he does it, then it's clear-cut. I just think...
Has there ever been a 50-50 guy? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But
of course, there's never been a 64 home run guy in the American
League
either.
If you look at the numbers, Austin, maybe you can help me out with this. His WAR, Judge, is almost 10. His OPS in the last 4 months is like 1,300. I've never seen numbers like that on a consistent basis.
Other than Bonds.
Okay, other than Bonds. But I'm talking about now. He walks a lot. It's almost as if, here's a question I would ask. If I'm the opposing team, remember how Bonds used to be intentionally walked even though it didn't make sense?
Yeah.
I would walk Aaron Judge a lot. I don't care what people would boo. I would not let him beat me.
He took a pitch. He took a breaking ball off the plate outside yesterday and hit it to dead center field. for a home run.
It's effortless swing, too. It's one of those swings that you just, okay, just kind of waved at it, and it goes a long way.
But I'm going with Ohtani here. 50-50?
Never happened before. Just looked it up. It's never happened in Major League Baseball history, 50-50 season.
Sounds like you're going with that too, Limits, are you?
1,000% I'm
going
Bob,
with it. That's insane. Think about players.
Look at the last 4 months of Judge's OPS.
Judge has an offensive war.
You've never seen a four-month stretch. I think I looked this up yesterday and saw no one's ever done this.
9.9 is his offensive war this
9.9.
And his defensive war is negative 0.6 or negative 0.5.
He's not close to what cheating Barry Bonds did. Look at those numbers.
Okay, but I'm talking about over the last 20 years here about.
And I'm not trying to downgrade what Judge could do here. If he gets 64 home runs, that's ridiculous. But once again, he's up against a guy who I think is the greatest baseball player who ever lived. Is Shohei Ohtani.
I won't disagree with that.
And by the way, he was pitching the other day.
I can't believe they're going to put him this year, though.
Not this year.
No. But he will be back. And when he's back, I mean, you understand why he got $700 million, because he's two people in one body.
50 home runs, 50 steals.
And how about if he's a 20-game winner with the Dodgers next year on top of that?
He should have won MVP a few years ago over Judge.
Absolutely.
He should have.
I agree with that.
Ron disagreed.
No.
Ron yelled at me for that. Limits.
No, it should have been Ohtani.
I thought Limits would be on top
I could
of that
respect both
clip.
And what they've done. It's just so.
Yeah, wasn't very good.
I was looking at Aaron Judge's numbers with home runs by ballpark.
Yeah.
If he played his home games.
You ever hit one here? Has he played here? I can't remember.
Yeah, he has. But he's hit one here.
Has he? I don't remember.
He did?
Yeah.
It says
last year.
Oh.
I remember him hitting one. He hit a moonshot home run against them last year.
At PNC Park?
Yes.
Is that true, Bob? Is City Limits accurate on that?
Probably.
I'm going to take a Paul pause, my first of the day. I'm taking a Paul pause. Now, Paul got upset when he said, you did that when I did this type of thing one day. And I said, yes, I did it, but it's named after you, right? Like anybody can go below the Mendoza line. We don't adjust to the name. It's the Mendoza line for a reason, right, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, why don't you two talk while I look that up and confirm what City Limits said?
So, Judge in 22 would have had 66 home runs as his expected home run total if he hit all of them at Yankee Stadium. Judge has, 50-51 this year on the season?
51, two
if
more
he was
yesterday.
Playing at PNC Park, it would only be 44.
Wow.
But he's not, so.
I just find it fascinating. The amount of ballparks. Yankee Stadium, 51, that is almost the highest number. If he played his majority of his home games at the Angel Stadium, this is from Baseball Savant, he would have 54. Same thing with Philly and Washington. If he played his games at Great American Small Park in Cincinnati, 62 is currently the number.
I've never heard that name before, and I like it, Bob.
Home runs by park.
Great American Small Park. Have you heard that before?
Someone else, I heard that. Yeah, I have before. I don't know who said it, but
you're wrong, City Limits. He's hit two home runs at PNC Park.
So I knew he hit at least one.
You were wrong. He's grounded into three double plays here, Bob. Did you know that?
Well, I mean, that can happen.
Who does he hit the most home runs against? Where, in what stadium other than his own has he hit the most homers? Anybody?
I would say Camden Yards.
I'd say Boston.
Camden Yards. Bob is all over that with 24 home runs.
That's another place that you can hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
Man, I'll say.
48 would be his number at Camden Yards. These are expected home runs by Park from Baseball Savant.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.